Okay, so picture this. You're blasting past the asteroid belt, heading into the realm of the gas giants.
Oh, wow.
Jupiter and Saturn, these colossal worlds of swirling
All
storms,
right.
crazy strong magnetic fields,
Yeah.
and more moons than you can shake a stick at.
I like that analogy.
Welcome to Cosmos in a Pod.
Space and astronomy series.
Today we're diving deep into these gas giants,
Yeah.
Jupiter and Saturn.
Right.
What makes them tick, what secrets they hold, and how they've shaped our solar system.
Sounds good.
But before we get lost in the rings of Saturn,
Yeah.
let's start with something I've always wondered. What exactly is a gas giant,
Okay.
and how are they different from, say, Earth?
Well, what's fascinating here is that gas giants are like the opposite of Earth.
Okay.
Instead of solid ground, they're mostly made of, you guessed it, gas.
Gas.
Primarily hydrogen and helium, the lightest elements in the universe.
Okay.
Now, you might be thinking a giant ball of gas,
Yeah.
and you wouldn't be wrong, but it's not as simple as that. As you go deeper into a gas giant, the pressure increases so much that the gas transitions into liquid and even metallic states.
Metallic hydrogen.
Yeah.
That sounds intense.
It is. It's a state of hydrogen that only exists under immense pressure, the kind you'd find deep inside these giants.
Wow.
And it's thought to play a key role in generating their powerful magnetic fields.
Okay.
But back to the gas giants themselves, Jupiter and Saturn are the big players in our solar system,
Right.
and they're different from the ice giants Uranus and Neptune,
Okay.
which have more heavier elements mixed in.
So we're talking about planets so massive, they basically scooped up most of the leftover gas after the sun formed.
Exactly. And that immense gravity is what makes them so influential in our solar system.
Yeah.
They act like cosmic shepherds, guiding the orbits of asteroids and even influencing the paths of other planets.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But when I think of gas giants, I immediately picture Jupiter, the
Right.
king of the planets. It's just
Yeah.
huge, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. Jupiter's diameter is over 11 times that of Earth.
Wow.
Imagine Earth as a nickel. Jupiter would be like a basketball next to it,
Wow.
and its mass over 318 times that of Earth.
That's crazy.
In fact, it's so massive that it has more than twice the mass of all the other planets in our solar system combined.
Wow, that's mind-blowing. And it's pretty far out there too, right? Like
Ugh.
way past Mars and the asteroid belt.
Jupiter orbits the sun at a distance of about 778 million kilometers,
Oh, wow.
which is over five times farther than Earth is from the sun.
So it's a long journey to get there.
It is a very long journey.
Okay, so we've got this massive planet far out in the solar system.
Yeah.
What else is going on with Jupiter? Like, what makes it so unique besides just its size?
Well, let's start with its atmosphere.
Okay.
It's this chaotic, swirling spectacle of colorful cloud bands and massive storms.
Right.
You've probably heard of the Great Red Spot.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that a giant storm that's been raging for centuries?
It is.
But how can a storm be bigger than Earth? That's just insane.
Here's where it gets really interesting.
Okay.
The Great Red Spot is a high-pressure storm, an anticyclone to be precise.
Right.
Imagine a colossal vortex of swirling gas, bigger than our entire planet,
Wow.
with wind speeds reaching over 400 kilometers per hour.
That's insane.
And the fact that it's persisted for at least 300 years, possibly much longer,
Yeah.
has baffled scientists for ages.
Right.
One key factor in its longevity is something called the Coriolis effect,
Okay.
where the planet's rotation causes winds to curve and contributes to the storm's stability.
So it's like a never-ending hurricane fueled by Jupiter's insane rotation speed.
That's a good way to put it.
Wow.
And this powerful atmosphere also plays a role in generating Jupiter's incredibly strong magnetic field,
Okay.
which is a whopping 20,000 times stronger than Earth's.
That's a lot.
This creates intense radiation belts around the planet, making it a pretty hostile environment.
So a visit to Jupiter might be off the table then.
Well, not without some serious radiation shielding, but even from afar, Jupiter is fascinating because of its moons. It has at least 92 confirmed moons,
Wow.
each with its own unique character.
Right.
Among them are the four largest known as the Galilean moons: Io, Europa, Ganymede, and Callisto.
The Galilean moons, those were discovered by Galileo, right?
Yes.
Back when telescopes were basically fancy spyglasses.
That's right. He observed them back in the 17th century, and they've been a source of fascination ever since.
Yeah.
Each one is incredibly unique,
Right.
but Europa is the real star of the show.
Oh.
It's thought to have a vast global ocean of liquid water hidden beneath its icy surface,
Wow.
making it one of the most promising places in our solar system to search for life beyond Earth.
Whoa, hold on. An ocean on another moon?
Yes.
Are we talking about alien fish here or something even weirder?
Well, we don't expect to find alien fish.
Okay.
But the possibility of microbial life in Europa's ocean is incredibly exciting.
Right?
Imagine tiny organisms thriving in the darkness, powered by hydrothermal vents on the ocean floor.
That's...
Discovering life on Europa would revolutionize our understanding of life's origins and its potential to exist in places we once thought impossible.
Okay, that's seriously mind-blowing.
Yeah.
So Jupiter is more than just a big ball of gas.
Yeah.
It's a complex system with its own crazy weather, a super strong magnetic field, and a moon that might harbor alien life.
Absolutely.
What about Saturn?
Okay.
It's famous for its rings.
Right.
But is there more to it than meets the eye?
Saturn is absolutely more than just rings.
Yeah. Those
rings are pretty spectacular. It's about 9.5 times the diameter of Earth. So still a giant, though not as massive as Jupiter.
Right.
It orbits the sun at a distance of about 1.43 billion kilometers, which is nearly twice as far as Jupiter.
Okay, so it's farther out and a bit smaller than Jupiter.
Yeah.
But those rings.
Right.
They're what makes Saturn so iconic, right?
Yeah.
What are they made of and how do they even form?
The rings are made up of countless icy particles, ranging in size from tiny dust grains to chunks as big as houses. And they extend outwards for a staggering 282,000 kilometers.
Oh my God.
But what's truly mind-boggling is how thin they are.
Go ahead.
Averaging just 10 meters in thickness.
Wait, 10 meters? That's like the height of a three-story building.
Yeah.
It's hard to picture something so vast, yet so incredibly thin.
Imagine this. If you could somehow gather all the material in Saturn's rings and squish it together,
okay,
you'd only get a moon about 200 kilometers across.
Wow.
That's tiny compared to Saturn itself.
So it's like a giant cosmic frisbee made of ice and dust.
That's a pretty good analogy.
Wow.
As for how they formed, that's still a bit of a mystery.
Yeah.
One leading theory suggests that a moon got too close to Saturn and was ripped apart by its gravity.
Okay.
Leaving behind a trail of debris that became the rings.
Oh.
Another theory proposes that the rings are leftover material from Saturn's formation.
Yeah.
Primordial debris that never coalesced into a moon.
So it's either a shattered moon or leftover building blocks.
Exactly.
Either way, those rings are just mesmerizing.
They are spectacular.
But what about Saturn itself? What's going on beneath those rings?
Saturn's atmosphere is also primarily hydrogen and helium, like Jupiter's, but it's a bit more subdued.
Okay.
It has cloud bands, but they're fainter and have a golden hue. Mm. And while Saturn's magnetic field is strong, it's not as intense as Jupiter's.
Right.
What's interesting is that Saturn's magnetic field is almost perfectly aligned with its rotation axis, unlike Jupiter's, which is tilted.
So it's like a more organized magnetic field.
You could say that.
That's interesting.
And like Jupiter-Saturn has a whole entourage of moons.
Okay.
Over 145 that we know of, in fact.
Wow.
And among them is a real standout, Titan.
Titan, that's the one with a thick atmosphere, right?
No.
What's so special about it?
Titan is truly unique.
Okay.
It's the only moon in our solar system known to have a dense atmosphere.
Wow.
And on its surface, you'd find lakes and seas.
Right.
But they're not filled with water.
What?
They're filled with liquid methane and ethane.
Wait, methane? Like the stuff we use for natural gas here on Earth.
Exactly.
So it's like a moon with its own version of rain rivers and lakes, but made of hydrocarbons.
Yeah.
That's wild.
It's a completely alien environment, yet strangely familiar in some ways.
Right.
The Huygens probe, which landed on Titan in 2005, revealed a landscape with river channels, dunes, and even what looked like shorelines.
Wow.
But instead of water, it's all methane.
That's so bizarre.
And that raises some fascinating questions about the potential for exotic forms of life on Titan.
Yeah.
Life that might thrive in a methane-based environment.
Okay, now my mind is officially blown.
It's a fascinating place.
So we've got Jupiter with its giant storm, super strong magnetic field, and a moon with a potential ocean.
Yeah.
And then we have Saturn, the ringed beauty with a moon that has methane lakes.
Right.
It's hard to even grasp the sheer scale and diversity of these gas giants.
It really is. And we've only just begun to scratch the surface of what they can teach us about planetary science.
Right.
The formation of solar systems and the potential for life beyond Earth.
This is incredible.
Yeah.
But I think we need a little breather to process all this amazing information.
Yeah, let's take a break.
Maybe in the next part, we can dive into some of the missions that have explored these gas giants.
Absolutely.
Like Juno and Cassini.
Stay tuned for part two, where we'll delve into the incredible missions that have ventured to Jupiter and Saturn.
Right.
Revealing their secrets and pushing the boundaries of our understanding.
Don't forget to follow and subscribe to Cosmos in a Pod And check out our YouTube channel for more cosmic adventures.
Yes, please do.
See you in part two.
See you then. Welcome back to Cosmos in a Pod Space and Astronomy series. Last time we took a grand tour of Jupiter and Saturn, these behemoths of the outer solar system with their swirling storms, powerful magnetic fields and moons that could hold the keys to unlocking the secrets of life beyond Earth.
I'm still reeling from the fact that there's a moon out there with methane lakes.
I know, it's incredible, isn't it?
But before we get lost in the methane rain, I'm curious about how these gas giants even came to be. How did they form? And what role did they play in shaping our solar system?
Let's take a journey back in time about 4.6 billion years ago to the birth of our solar system.
Okay.
Back then, it was just a vast swirling cloud of gas and dust known as the solar nebula. It was a chaotic, messy place with particles constantly colliding and clumping together under the pull of gravity.
So it's like a giant cosmic nursery where stars and planets are born from the swirling cloud of stuff.
Exactly. As the cloud collapsed, it began to spin faster and faster, and most of the material was drawn toward the center, forming a protostar that would eventually ignite and become our sun.
Okay, so we've got our baby sun at the center, glowing and heating up everything around it. What about the rest of the material, the stuff that didn't become the sun?
The remaining gas and dust continued to swirl around the young sun, forming a disk. And within this disk, particles kept bumping into each other and sticking together, gradually growing larger and larger over time.
So it's like a giant game of cosmic billiards, with these particles colliding and forming bigger and bigger objects.
You got it. In the inner region of the disk, closer to the sun, it was too hot for volatile substances like water and methane to condense. So the objects forming there were mainly made of rock and metal. That's how the rocky planets like Earth, Mars, Venus, and Mercury were born. But in the outer regions where Jupiter and Saturn reside, it was a different story.
Ah, so this is where things get interesting for the gas giants.
Exactly. Out beyond the frost line where it was much colder, ices like water ice, methane, ice, and ammonia ice could exist alongside rock and metal. This meant there was a lot more material available for planet formation in the outer solar system.
So it's like the outer solar system had a bigger buffet to choose from, which helped these planets grow much larger.
That's a great way to put it. These massive objects in the outer solar system became the cores of Jupiter and Saturn. But here's where things get really interesting. Their immense gravity began attracting vast amounts of hydrogen and helium gas from the surrounding solar nebula, growing to truly colossal sizes.
So they were like cosmic vacuum cleaners, sucking up all the leftover gas and becoming the gas giants we know today.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And this process of gas accretion is what set them apart from the rocky planets. Jupiter and Saturn became massive enough to hold on to these huge envelopes of gas, creating the gas giants we see today.
It's mind-boggling to think about these planets growing to hundreds of times the mass of Earth. Did this rapid growth have any effects on the rest of the solar system?
It most certainly did. Jupiter, especially with its massive gravitational pull, played a huge role in sculpting the solar system as we know it.
Oh,
there is a theory that Jupiter actually migrated inward towards the sun early in its history.
Wait, really? So Jupiter wasn't always in its current position. It went on a little cosmic road trip.
According to this theory, Jupiter's inward journey stirred things up a bit.
Oh.
It disrupted the orbits of planetesimals in the inner solar system, scattering them around and even flinging some completely out of the solar system.
So Jupiter was like a cosmic bowling ball wreaking havoc in the early solar system.
Whoa, it was a bit more nuanced than that. This disruption actually played a crucial role in preventing the formation of a super-Earth in the inner solar system.
A super?
Yeah, a planet several times more massive than Earth.
Okay, so Jupiter's little adventure might have paved the way for Earth to form as we know it. Otherwise, we might be living on a much larger, more massive planet.
That's a possibility. And as Jupiter migrated back outwards to its current position, its gravity helped shepherd asteroids into the asteroid belt, keeping them from bombarding the inner planets.
So Jupiter the disruptor also became the protector. That's an interesting twist. What about Saturn? Did it have a similar impact on the early solar system?
Saturn's role is less clear-cut, but its gravity likely influenced the orbits of icy objects in the outer solar system. It probably helped to shape the Kuiper Belt, a region beyond Neptune that's home to icy objects, including dwarf planets like Pluto.
Okay, so these gas giants in their own ways were the architects of the solar system, shaping its structure and influencing the fates of countless objects within it. That's pretty amazing.
It's a cosmic dance of gravity dynamics and chance that led to the solar system we see today. But let's move beyond their formation and dive into those captivating features that make Jupiter and Saturn so unique. Let's start with their atmospheres. What's going on beneath those swirling clouds?
That's what I want to know. I mean, we've got Jupiter with its great red spot, which we've established is a storm larger than Earth. What causes these crazy weather patterns on gas giants?
Well, both Jupiter and Saturn are mostly hydrogen and helium, but their atmospheres are incredibly dynamic and diverse. Jupiter's atmosphere is a turbulent spectacle with those colorful bands and swirling storms we talked about earlier.
Yeah, it's hard to wrap my head around the fact that the Great Red Spot has been raging for centuries.
It's truly remarkable. Jupiter's rapid rotation, which takes just under 10 hours to complete, is a major factor. This rapid spin creates powerful jet streams and wind shears, leading to those striking cloud bands. The Great Red Spot is thought to be a massive high-pressure system, essentially a gigantic vortex of swirling gas. Its longevity is still a mystery, but the Coriolis effect, where the planet's rotation causes winds to curve, likely plays a role in its stability.
So it's like a perpetual hurricane fueled by Jupiter's crazy rotation speed and some fancy physics.
That's a good analogy. Now, Saturn's atmosphere is also banded, but the colors are more muted with a kind of golden hue. It's thought that Saturn's deeper cloud layers obscure some of the more dynamic features we see on Jupiter.
So it's like Jupiter's putting on a flashy light show, while Saturn is more of a subtle, mysterious beauty. What about their iconic rings? What makes them so unique and how do they form?
The rings. They are indeed spectacular. Saturn's rings are made up of countless icy particles ranging in size from tiny dust grains to chunks as big as houses. They extend outward for an incredible 282,000 kilometers. But what's truly mind-boggling is how thin they are, averaging just 10 meters in thickness.
I know we talked about this before, but 10 meters? That's just unbelievable. It's like a giant flat sheet of ice and dust spread out over an enormous distance.
Precisely. Imagine this. If you could somehow gather all the material in Saturn's rings and clump it together, it would only form a moon about 200 kilometers across. That's tiny compared to Saturn itself.
Okay, that puts it into perspective. So these rings are visually stunning, but they're incredibly diffuse. But where did all this icy material come from?
There are a few theories about their origin. One suggests that the rings formed when a moon got a little too close to Saturn and was torn apart by its gravitational forces, leaving behind a trail of debris that eventually formed the rings. Another theory proposes that the rings are actually leftover material from Saturn's formation primordial debris that never coalesced into a moon.
So it's either a shattered moon or cosmic leftovers. Either way, those rings are a sight to behold. But I'm curious, does Jupiter have rings too?
It does, but they're much fainter and thinner than Saturn's, composed mostly of dust particles rather than ice. They're not nearly as spectacular, which is why they're not as well known.
So Saturn really is the Lord of the Rings in our solar system.
Mm.
What else makes these gas giants stand out?
Their magnetic fields are another remarkable feature. We touched on Jupiter's intense magnetic field earlier, which is thousands of times stronger than Earth's.
Yeah, that thing's a beast. But what makes these magnetic fields so powerful?
It's thought that they're generated by the movement of metallic hydrogen deep within their interiors. These planets are so massive that the pressure and temperature at their cores become extreme, squeezing hydrogen into a state where it can actually conduct electricity.
Metallic hydrogen. So it's like a liquid metal, but made of hydrogen. That sounds wild.
It is. And it's this metallic hydrogen that acts like a giant dynamo, swirling and churning deep within the planet, generating those enormous magnetic fields.
Okay, so it's like having a giant cosmic power generator hidden inside these planets. What are some of the effects of these magnetic fields?
These powerful fields create vast magnetospheres around the planets, which trap charged particles from the sun. This creates intense radiation belts, making the environments around these planets quite hostile to unshielded spacecraft or, you know, any living thing that might be wandering by.
Yeah, that's not exactly a welcoming environment. But you mentioned something about auroras, like the northern lights we see on Earth.
Exactly.
Yeah.
These magnetic fields give rise to spectacular auroras at the planet's poles. The Cassini spacecraft captured stunning images of Saturn's auroras, which can cover vast areas of the planet.
Wow, I can't imagine how amazing it would be to see an aurora on Saturn.
It would be truly breathtaking. It's a reminder that even though these gas giants are so different from our own planet, they share some similarities. The same underlying physics that governs the universe connects these seemingly disparate worlds.
It's like a beautiful reminder of the interconnectedness of everything in the cosmos. But we've talked a lot about the planets themselves. What about those incredible moons they have?
Yes. The moons, Jupiter and Saturn, each have a diverse collection of moons, each with its own unique story to tell. We've already discussed Jupiter's Galilean moons and Saturn's Titan.
Right, those were mind-blowing. But what about the other moons in these systems? Are there any other standouts?
Oh, absolutely. Jupiter has Io, the most volcanically active body in the solar system. Its surface is constantly reshaped by eruptions of molten sulfur and silicate lava.
Wow, that sounds incredibly dramatic. What drives this intense volcanic activity?
It's all due to tidal heating. Io is caught in a gravitational tug of war between Jupiter and the other Galilean moons. This constant stretching and squeezing generates incredible heat within Io, melting its interior and causing those spectacular eruptions.
So it's like a cosmic dance of gravity, heating this moon up and creating these amazing volcanic displays.
That's a great way to put it. And then there's Ganymede, the largest moon in the entire solar system. It's even bigger than the planet. Mercury Ganymede has a metallic core and its own magnetic field, making it quite unique among moons.
It's like a mini planet in its own right. What of Callisto?
Callisto, the outermost of the Galilean moons, is heavily cratered and thought to be one of the oldest and most geologically stable objects in the solar system. It's like a time capsule preserving a record of the early solar system.
It's amazing to think about all these different moons, each with its own distinct personality. What about Saturn's moons? Any other fascinating ones besides Titan?
There's Enceladus, a small but incredibly active moon. The Cassini spacecraft discovered geysers erupting from its south polar region, spewing water vapor and ice particles into space.
Look, geysers on a moon. That's incredible. What's causing those?
Like Io, tidal heating plays a role, but with Enceladus, it's thought that there's a vast ocean of liquid water beneath its icy surface. These geysers are like windows into this hidden ocean, offering tantalizing hints of a potential habitat for life.
Okay, now that is seriously cool. Volcanic moons, moons with oceans, moons with lakes of methane. It's amazing to think about the diversity of worlds that exist within our solar system.
It truly is. And these moons aren't just fascinating in their own right. They provide valuable clues about the formation and evolution of planetary systems. They're like natural laboratories, helping us understand the processes that shape worlds beyond our own.
So we've covered a lot of ground in this part of our deep dive. What are some of the key takeaways you'd like our listeners to remember about Jupiter and Saturn's formation, their atmospheres, their rings, and these incredible moons?
The key takeaway is that these gas giants are far more than just big balls of gas.
Mm.
They are complex dynamic systems with rich histories and a profound influence on our solar system. Their formation was a dramatic and influential event. Their atmospheres are turbulent and ever-changing. Their rings are intricate and awe-inspiring, and their moons are diverse and fascinating worlds unto themselves.
It's a reminder that the universe is full of surprises, and there's always more to discover. But now I'm really eager to hear about the missions that have ventured to these gas giants, the missions that have brought us these incredible images and data.
That's a perfect segue. Stay tuned for part 3, where we'll delve into those incredible missions, the daring voyages that have revealed so much about Jupiter and Saturn, from their turbulent atmospheres to their fascinating moons and those iconic rings.
I can't wait. And in the meantime, listeners, don't forget to follow and subscribe to Cosmos in a Pod and check out our YouTube channel for more cosmic adventures. We'll see you in part 3. Welcome back to Cosmos in a Pod Space and Astronomy Series. Over the past 2 parts, we've journeyed to the outer solar system, exploring the fascinating worlds of Jupiter and Saturn, from their turbulent atmospheres to their incredible moons and those mesmerizing rings.
We've uncovered their formation, their influence on the solar system, and the unique features that make them stand out among the planets.
But now I'm really excited to dive into the missions that have ventured to these gas giants. The missions that have provided us with those incredible images and data that have fueled our imagination and expanded our understanding of these distant worlds.
It's incredible to think about how far we've come in our exploration of the outer solar system.
I know, it's amazing. So let's start with Jupiter. What were some of the earliest missions to visit the king of the planets? I remember seeing those iconic images from the Voyager probes when I was a kid, but what came before that?
Well, before Voyager, there were the pioneers, literally. Pioneer 10 and 11 were the first spacecraft to fly by Jupiter back in the early 1970s.
Okay.
They were our first robotic emissaries to venture into the outer solar system.
Right.
And they provided our first close-up glimpses of this gas giant revealing its swirling clouds and intense radiation belts.
Those were truly groundbreaking missions venturing into uncharted territory.
Yeah.
What were some of the key discoveries from Pioneer 10 and 11?
They confirmed the existence of Jupiter's immense magnetic field, which we had theorized about but never directly observed. They also measured the planet's radiation belts, which turned out to be far more intense than anyone expected.
Wow.
This information was crucial for planning future missions.
Right.
As it highlighted the need for robust radiation shielding to protect sensitive instruments and eventually human explorers.
So they were like scouts paving the way for the more ambitious missions that followed.
Exactly. And then came the Voyager 1 and 2 spacecraft, which flew by Jupiter in 1979. Voyager was equipped with more advanced instruments and imaging capabilities, and the images and data they sent back revolutionized our understanding of Jupiter and its moons.
Those Voyager images are still some of the most iconic space images ever captured. They reveal the intricate details of Jupiter's atmosphere, the swirling storms, the great red spot in all its glory, and those first detailed views of the Galilean moons.
Voyager was a watershed moment in our exploration of Jupiter. It revealed the complexity and dynamism of Jupiter's atmosphere, discovered active volcanoes on Io, hinted at a possible ocean on Europa, and provided the first detailed images of the surprisingly diverse surfaces of Ganymede and Callisto.
It was like opening a treasure chest of cosmic wonders, each image and data point, adding to the richness and complexity of our understanding of Jupiter. What came after the Voyager flybys? Did we send any missions to orbit Jupiter and study it for a longer period?
Yes, in the 1990s, we had the Galileo mission, which orbited Jupiter for 8 years, from 1995 to 2003.
Wow.
Galileo was a true orbiter, allowing us to study Jupiter and its moons in unprecedented detail. It carried a suite of instruments to study Jupiter's atmosphere, its magnetic field, and its fascinating moons.
Galileo was a game changer, wasn't it? It gave us a completely new perspective on Jupiter and its moons.
Absolutely. One of Galileo's most daring feats was dropping a probe into Jupiter's atmosphere.
Really?
This probe directly measured the composition and structure of the atmosphere, giving us our first direct glimpse into the interior of a gas giant.
That must have been an incredible engineering challenge to design a probe that could survive the intense pressures and temperatures of Jupiter's atmosphere.
It was, and the data the probe sent back was invaluable. Galileo also made numerous close flybys of all four Galilean moons, revealing their diverse landscapes and providing strong evidence for a subsurface ocean on Europa, adding fuel to the fire of the search for life beyond Earth.
It's amazing to think that beneath the icy surface of Europa, there might be a vast ocean, potentially teeming with life. And speaking of pushing the boundaries of our understanding, what about the Juno mission? It's been orbiting Jupiter since 2016, right? What's been up to?
Juno is an incredible mission. It's designed to study Jupiter's interior, its magnetic field, and those beautiful auroras we talked about earlier. Juno is using a suite of instruments to peer beneath Jupiter's clouds and map its gravitational and magnetic fields, providing insights into its deep structure and evolution.
So Juno is like a cosmic detective piecing together the clues to understand Jupiter's hidden heart.
Exactly. It's providing us with a 3D map of Jupiter's interior, helping us understand how its atmosphere and interior interact, and revealing the dynamics of its powerful magnetic field.
It's incredible to think that we're still learning so much about Jupiter, even after decades of exploration. It seems like every mission reveals new mysteries and deepens our understanding of this gas giant.
That's the beauty of scientific exploration. It's a never-ending journey of discovery.
Okay, so we've journeyed through the history of Jupiter exploration, from the pioneering flybys of Pioneer to the orbital missions of Galileo and Juno. What about Saturn? What were some of the key missions that have explored the ringed wonder?
Saturn has also been a target of our curiosity and exploration. Like Jupiter, Saturn was first visited by the Pioneer 11 and Voyager spacecraft in the 1970s and 1980s. These missions provided our first close-up views of Saturn's majestic rings, its hazy atmosphere, and its intriguing moons.
I remember those early images from Voyager. They were breathtaking. The rings were so intricate and complex beyond anything we could have imagined.
Those images captivated the world. The Voyager missions also discovered new moons and shepherd moons.
Shepherd moons.
Yes, those tiny moons that orbit within or near Saturn's rings, helping to shape and maintain their structure.
It's amazing how these tiny moons play such an important role in the grand ballet of the rings.
Yeah.
What came after the Voyager flybys?
The Cassini-Huygens mission, which arrived at Saturn in 2004, was a landmark achievement in our exploration of the Saturnian system.
Okay.
It was a joint mission between NASA and the European Space Agency.
Wow.
And it spent 13 years exploring Saturn, its rings and its moons, sending back a treasure trove of data and images that have revolutionized our understanding of this fascinating world.
Cassini-Huygens was an epic mission, wasn't it? It seemed like every few months there was a new discovery, a new image that would blow our minds.
It was a truly remarkable mission. Cassini discovered geysers erupting from Enceladus, providing evidence for a subsurface ocean that could potentially harbor life. It mapped Titan's surface in detail, revealing lakes and seas of liquid methane and ethane. And it carried the Huygens probe, which landed on Titan's surface in 2005, giving us our first glimpse of this alien world up close.
That landing on Titan was a historic moment, the first and only landing on a moon in the outer solar system. What did we learn from the Huygens probe?
Huygens revealed a surprisingly Earth-like landscape on Titan, with river channels, dunes, and even rain, but composed of methane and ethane rather than water. It was a truly alien environment, yet eerily familiar in some ways.
It's mind-boggling to think about a world so similar to our own in some respects, yet so different in its composition and environment.
Yeah.
It really highlights the incredible diversity of worlds that exist out there.
It does. And Cassini's mission ended in a spectacular fashion in 2017 when it deliberately plunged into Saturn's atmosphere.
Oh, wow.
This grand finale, as it was called, was a bittersweet moment.
I bet.
But it ensured that Cassini wouldn't contaminate any of Saturn's moons, preserving them for future exploration.
It was a fitting end to an incredible mission. A final act of scientific responsibility.
And the data from Cassini is still being analyzed today, continuing to yield new discoveries and insights about the Saturnian system.
So we've had these incredible missions to Jupiter and Saturn, revealing their secrets, capturing our imaginations, and expanding our understanding of the cosmos. As we wrap up this deep dive, what are some of the key takeaways from these explorations? What have we learned about these gas giants that has fundamentally changed our perspective?
I think the biggest takeaway is that gas giants are far more complex and dynamic than we ever imagined. Their atmospheres are constantly churning with storms that dwarf our entire planet. Their rings are intricate and ever-evolving, influenced by the gravitational interplay of moons and the planet itself.
And their moons are worlds unto themselves, a diverse collection of celestial objects with their own unique stories, histories, and potential for harboring life.
Exactly. From the volcanic fury of Io to the icy potential of Europa and the methane lakes of Titan, these moons have captivated our imaginations and challenged our understanding of what's possible in the universe.
These missions have also highlighted the incredible ingenuity and perseverance of humans pushing the boundaries of what's technologically possible and venturing into the unknown to satisfy our curiosity and expand our knowledge.
It's a testament to the power of human curiosity, our desire to explore, and our drive to understand our place in the universe. And as technology continues to advance, we can look forward to even more ambitious missions to these gas giants' missions that will continue to unravel their mysteries and inspire future generations of scientists and explorers.
It's truly an exciting time to be following the exploration of our solar system. There's so much more to discover. So many mysteries yet to be solved.
That's the beauty of science. It's a never-ending journey of exploration and discovery. And these gas giants, with their grandeur and their secrets, will continue to beckon us to explore, to question, and to wonder.
Well, that brings us to the end of our deep dives into the world of gas giants. It's been an incredible journey filled with wonder, discovery, and a sense of awe at the vastness and complexity of the cosmos.
I've enjoyed our exploration immensely. And I hope our listeners have gained a newfound appreciation for these majestic planets and the incredible missions that have revealed their secrets.
If you want to continue exploring the universe with us, don't forget to follow and subscribe to Cosmos in a Pod and check out our YouTube channel for more cosmic adventures.
We'll be back with more deep dives into the fascinating world of space and astronomy, bringing you the latest discoveries and insights.
Until next time, keep looking up at the stars, keep asking questions, and never lose your sense of wonder. The universe is waiting to be explored.